Amen. Amen. Beautiful songs about Calvary. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 5, the last verse of Ephesians chapter number 5. Amen. Appreciate the songs that have been sung tonight. Amen. None of them have been flesh-exciting songs, but they've been spiritual songs. Amen. Spiritual songs. And about our Lord and Savior, by the way, that's the best thing I know of to sing about.
Amen.
Amen. You can sing about your sorrows. You can sing about your experiences and all that, but there's nothing better than singing about the Savior. I believe that's exactly right. Amen. And that's what we need in this day in which we live. Amen. And don't be afraid to sing about dedication to the Lord. We sang that, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Amen. Don't be afraid to dedicate yourself. And step, as they say, step out on a limb and say, I'll do it. I've heard people say, well, I wouldn't say that. I don't know if I will be dedicated. You won't be if you don't dedicate yourself. And so don't give place to the devil. Don't give excuse to back up, but just sell out. Amen. Sell out for the glory of God. I believe that's exactly what we need to do, even in these last days we're living in. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 33. We'll take our text again tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 33. The Bible says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you, Lord. Yes. 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 Help us, Lord. Please, Lord, yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, as you know, thus far in our study of the duties of husbands and wives, I'm preaching through the series that I preached 19 years ago at Vision. I felt like the Lord had us to revisit this. Of course, I've got some different things a little bit. It's the same truth, just looking at it in a little different light. But we have studied thus far two particular points. I mentioned there'd be four total. But we looked at the duties of both alike. There's two spouses, but they have duties separately, and then they have duties that are the same. And so we looked at those that are the same, and then we began looking at the special duty of the husband. And now, as I said tonight, began looking at the special duty of the wife. Now, our text verse number 33, is the summation of this entire teaching, I believe, from verse number 18 down through verse 33. He's talking about, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He goes through telling you what a Spirit-filled person will do. They'll be singing and making melody in their heart. They'll be speaking themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They'll be giving thanks unto the Lord. They'll be submitting one to another. It'll change the way a husband loves his wife. It'll change the way a wife obeys her husband. Amen. And so those are the teachings that are in these verses. But verse number 33 sums it all up and puts it together. And so we're looking at that and the special duty of each spouse. He says to the husband, his duty is to love his wife. I've said it a number of times, that is the foundation that every other duty comes from. Doesn't matter how hard a worker he is, if he doesn't love her like he ought to. Amen. Doesn't matter how well he provides, it doesn't matter how good he can talk, how strong he is, how smart he is. None of that matters if he doesn't love her like she needs to be loved. That's the core, that's the foundation of his duties to her. Her foundational duty is reverence. That's the word in our King James Bible, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. We don't use that word reverence today very much. As a matter of fact, you don't see much reverence. We use the word respect. And it carries some of the same connotation, except in my mind, and this is just the way, I guess because of the way I was raised, the word reverence has more of a sacred, more of a holy duty than just respect. You can respect some people for certain things in their life that are not holy. Amen. I'll give you an illustration. I respect General Patton. He's a great general. He was a vile cursor, but he's a great general. And we would have been well serviced if we had listened to some of his advice. Amen. In our military. Amen. But I respect him for his military. I respect him for his ingenuity on the field and his just being a good general. But he's not a holy man. Husbands ought to be holy men. And their wife ought to be able not just to respect them, but literally to reverence them. That's what the King James Bible says. Amen. And again, that is foundational to all her duties. I'll say more about that as we go. But I stated previously I think the core need of the wife is that she needs to feel loved. And the core need of the husband is that he needs to feel respected or reverenced. Amen. She needs love more than anything else, and he needs respect more than anything else. And I believe that is one more evidence that our Bible is divinely inspired, that the God, by the way, the Creator that made the man knows what the man needs. The Creator that made the woman knows what the woman needs. Therefore, when God said, I'll make a help meet, that means I'll fix something that's exactly what you need. Amen. Adam needed Eve. And Eve needed Adam. Amen. There are people that can grow up and remain single their whole life and don't need a spouse. There are those, but it's few and far between. Most men need a woman. Amen. Most women need a man. That is true. And, you know, we've got our society so mixed up, men don't need another man as a spouse. And a man don't need more than one woman as a spouse. Amen. Amen. And I could say it the other way around. Women don't need another woman as a spouse. And women don't need more than one man as a spouse. God knew exactly what He was doing when He put it that way in the Scriptures. Amen. And I know that He did it right. So God said in Genesis 2:18, that God said, it's not good that the man be alone. He said, I will make and help meet for him. Amen. And so God made the woman for the man. Amen. And it's exactly what He needed. And so in my message today, I'll just say a couple of notes before I get into my points. But my message today, and really that is to follow later, is going to be dealing with a foundational issue that runs cross-grain with our culture. They say that that a woman asked Billy Sunday one time why he always rubbed the cat in the wrong direction. And he said, because the cat's turned in the wrong direction. Turn the cat around and it'll be in the right direction. Amen. Well, our society is going the wrong direction in the things of God. They're going cross-grain. And so when you preach the Bible, it's going to go cross-grain with our modern culture. Amen. It seems to me, and I get on this a lot, but it's true, and it needs to be more than we can really deal with probably. But it seems to me like our society has rebelled against every standard of decency in the Bible. They've rebelled against every standard of morality. They've rebelled against every standard of authority. They hate decency, morality, or authority. They just seem like they hate it all. Amen. And some people rail against what they call traditional patriarchal hierarchy. Men in leadership. They rail against that. Amen. And man being the leader, the woman being submitted unto him, they say she's a slave. He's the master and she's the slave. That is not, by the way, if you feel that way, your feelings are upside down. Amen. Your feelings are upside down. If you feel like that God made you by making you a woman, then that means you're inferior. You're not inferior. It's not an inferior situation. And the man's not a superior. It's just that God said there's got to be an order. Somebody's got to be the leader. And God said it's going to be the man that leads and it's going to be the woman that follows. And if you flip that thing around, you got a mess. You got a mess. And so they rail against this traditional patriarchal hierarchy of a man as the leader and women and children being submitted unto him. Some people teach that it is, quote, unhealthy and unequal standard that discriminates, that's one of the words they use, discriminates against women and children. They teach women to rebel. They teach women to seek to rise up in superiority above the man. That, by the way, is usurping authority. They don't have to be preaching to be usurping authority. Amen. And they teach them to rise up in superiority above the man. And then they teach children that they don't obey, but children are, they say, are to rebel against authority, against the parents. They're to be their own God. They're to set their own course. They are to live their own destiny. In other words, make it what you want it to be. That's the idea. It seems like it's being taught today around the world. Can I say this to you? They refuse to believe and accept God's Word. Let me say it this way. God knows best. Amen. Dr. Spock came out with a new way of doing things some years ago. They say that, I've heard people say the kids grow up now with Spock marks all over them. Amen. Dr. Spock said, don't spank your children. By the way, you know what his son did? His son committed suicide is what his son did. That's how he raised him. It wasn't just Dr. Spock, but many others that come along and say, you know, don't discipline your children, don't have any authority, any structured life. Can I say to you that an unstructured life is generally an unhappy life and is generally an unhealthy life? Amen. You need to have proper order in your eating. You need to have proper order in your exercise. You need to have proper order in your day. You need that. Now, some of us may be a little bit more rigid than others, and some of us may need it a little bit more rigid than others. Right. Amen. But there's order that is needed in our life. And so I say this, that God knows best, and His order of leadership is the best for everyone involved. Amen. And I know what the world says. Yeah, you're a man. That's why you're saying that. I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, you don't know, if I was a woman, I'd still say it the same way because it's God's Word. Then I realized, no, I wouldn't be up here saying it if I was a woman because women don't get up in the pulpit and preach. Not godly women anyway. Amen. But if I was a woman sitting in the pew or in the home and reading the Bible and knowing what the Bible says or even hearing it preached, I'd have to say, amen, that's right. God knows the best way. Amen. Amen. Well, submission in children does not produce unhappiness or unhealthiness in society, but just the opposite. Amen. Rebellion against God's standard does not produce happiness or healthiness. If you rebel against God, you're not going to wind up happy. It's going to be the opposite. Amen. We see it over and over and over. It's not freedom. It doesn't produce freedom. It produces the opposite. When women reject femininity and motherhood, they grow increasingly dissatisfied, frustrated, and angry. Amen. And I don't watch sports and all that kind of stuff, but I'm telling you, you watch some of these women's sports. Most of them, by the way, are lesbians. whether it's soccer or basketball. Amen. The women in those sports generally are lesbians, and they are angry. They are so angry and so pent up. You know why? Because they've traded motherhood for the glory and the limelight of some sport that is not going to bring them the satisfaction that they're looking for when life comes to an end. And they're out of their order, and I could say a lot of things along those lines, but when women reject femininity and motherhood, they grow increasingly dissatisfied, frustrated, and angry. And when children rebel against their parents, they usually wreck their life, hurt others, and are a drain on society by making chaos all around. Amen. Now, we might argue among ourselves about the usefulness of God's order. We might discuss whether, you know, how we think that it works and what's best for society. But can I tell you, God's way is best for society. Amen. God's way is the safest for individuals, and God's way is the most beneficial for families. Amen. God's way is best. I'll just say it that way. Amen. Now, there's no perfect community. There's no perfect marriage. Amen. There's no perfect home. But God's way is perfect. Amen. Where we fail to be perfect is where we fail to go God's way entirely. We ought to strive to live by His will. We ought to strive to do what He wants us to do as much as possible. Amen. So, by way of introduction, I'm saying that this is going to go cross-grain, and I'm not going to be making friends and influencing people in my message along these lines, but it's still Bible. Amen. Still Bible. When God gives out His opinion as to what it is that establishes a woman as a great woman, as a good wife, He does not talk about her beauty. He does not talk about her brains. He talks about her submission. Amen. He lists reverence. He lists respect for her husband as that special quality for a godly wife. Amen. Amen. I put it this way in my notes. I know it's right. If she might be the world's most beautiful woman or the world's most intelligent woman, and yet if she does not have respect for her husband, she is not a good wife. Amen. She may know how to run a business. She may know how to do a lot of things that the world would applaud, but if she's not submitted to her husband and respecting her husband, she's not a good wife. Amen. Let's look at some scriptures. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. This is still introduction, and I'll just deal with one point tonight. My one point with three subpoints, all right? I'll deal with one point tonight in my message. It'll be small enough bites that we can chew on it. But 1 Timothy chapter number 2, I'm talking about how God made the woman. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Why was Adam first? I don't know why. That's just how God made it. Somebody had to be first. If Eve had been first, we'd be saying, why was Eve first? I don't know why. Maybe because A comes before E. God started in alphabetical order. No, I'm kidding. Well, I don't know why God made it that way, but that's just the way He made it. He made Adam first. Here's my first introductory point, is that the woman was made after the man. The man was made first, it says. Not only was the woman made after the man, but the woman was made from the man. Amen. 1 Corinthians, turn back there if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. You know this. I'm not teaching you something you don't know, but let you see it. The woman was made after the man. And by the way, so that would lend you to believe she ought to respect him. She ought to reverence him because she came after him. But she was made from the man. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. The woman came out of the man. You know that God took a rib out of Adam and formed a woman. All right, so she was made after him. She ought to reverence him. She came from him. She ought to reverence him. Number three, she was made for him. She ought to reverence him. Look at the next verse, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 11, 9. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Amen. She was made specifically for him. Amen. And then, you don't have to turn, but Genesis 3, 16 tells us that she was made under the man. God said unto the woman, He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's after the fall, that is the curse that was placed upon Eve. He said, not only was you made after him, not only was you made from him and for him, but now because of the fall, you're going to be under him. That's the order that God made it. Amen. And because of those four things, if there's nothing else, she ought to respect the husband. Amen. She ought to look up to him and have respect just from her creation. Amen. Now let me say this, and I'm going to get ready to move on, but these facts do not mean that the woman is less. They do not infer that the woman is of lesser value. Amen. Matter of fact, most men that, and I'll say it this way, men that are manly men would step between another man and a bullet. They'd take a bullet for another man, but they'd a lot quicker take a bullet for a woman or a child. Amen. A man that's a real man, he honors other men, but he shows great honor to that woman and to those children. Amen. And because of that, she ought to respect him. God made him that way. Amen. And again, it's not saying that the woman is lesser or of less value. Matter of fact, in one sense, it shows her on a higher plane. Amen. But God made the man and placed him as the leader in the home. God's going to hold the man responsible. I preach that when I talk to us men, and I do my best to say we need to step up and recognize that place of authority. But wife, you need to recognize he needs to be there, and you need to encourage him when he's there. Amen. You need to encourage him and show respect for him being in that position of leadership. He is responsible for the family. The wife is to be submissive. Amen. And they're to cooperate together, and she's to see that the family cooperates in his plan. By the way, that's God's plan. That's the way God laid it out. It's God's plan. His plan is high above our understanding. His ways are not our ways. Amen. We might take a vote and say, I think we ought to do it different, but we'll find out God's way is best. God's way is always best. Amen. Again, the order of the home is not man's doing. Man did not come up with it. I know what they teach in school, this patriarchal hierarchy they talk about. That's men dominating, men in leadership. And they go on and on and on about how that is bad, that's bad, that's bad. But God put the man in the garden, and God told the man to dress it, and God told the man to keep it, and God told the man he was responsible. Even when his family messed up, he said, Adam, you're the one responsible. God put it that way, made it that way. And that's a great blessing to the wife, that she's not the one going to be called on the carpet when God starts judging the home. Amen. And so it's not man's doing, it's God's doing. God's the one that stated it in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. I talked to you, showed you that in the Scripture right there in Genesis 3:16. Turn back to Ephesians chapter number 5. And we'll look at a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 5. Our text in verse number 33, but back up to verse number 22. He starts talking to the wives, and notice these are the words of God. They're written through the pen of Paul, writer to the Gentiles, the apostle to the Gentiles. And by the way, the church at Ephesus was a Gentile church. Matter of fact, he mentions that. Let me see. Look back at chapter number 3, Ephesians chapter 3, and verse number 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. He said, I'm writing to the church at Ephesus, and you're a bunch of Gentiles. So here's my point. God said, now this is the order in the Old Testament to the Jews. But in the New Testament, he said, this is also the order to the Gentiles. Amen. He said, this is the order for the nation of Israel. But he also said, this is the order for the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So underline the phrase, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. God is teaching that. That's His word. Colossians chapter number 3. If you want to turn over just past the Philippians, get to Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 18. Very comparative scripture. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Paul said to the Ephesians, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Paul said to the Colossians, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. In other words, it don't matter which church you belong to. It don't matter what town you live in. It don't matter who's your husband. Every wife is to respect her own husband. Her own husband. It's a shame when they respect other women's husbands, but they don't respect their own husband. Amen. He specifically says, make sure whether you show respect to anybody else or not, you respect your own husband. Amen. That's the text. 1 Peter chapter number 3. We're heading on down. I'm getting ready to get my first point in a minute. Y'all hang with me. And it'll be short. You just ain't realized it yet. 1 Peter chapter number 3. First six verses. I want to read them to you. And the first verse has the phrase, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband. There it is again. Not necessarily somebody else's, your own husband. Wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word. So even if he's an unbeliever, he said. Even if he's an unbeliever, she's to show respect for him. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. So he said in the Old Testament, you're going to submit yourself to him. He's going to have the rule over you. He said in Ephesians, in the New Testament, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. He said to Colossians in the New Testament, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. He said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. So here I go. He said it in the Old Testament and he said it in the New. He said it at Colossae and he said it at Ephesus. He said it to the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, and he said it from the apostle to the Jews, Peter. So it doesn't matter Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter red, yellow, black, or white. Every wife is to be in submission to her own husband. Now I bore down on it real hard and think it needs to be that the husbands love his wife. Nothing else, it doesn't matter. If she's your wife, you're to love her. Amen. I'm going to say it, it'll be a little bit funny, but good, bad, or ugly. If she's your wife, you're to love her. Amen. But on the other hand, good, bad, or ugly, if he's your husband, show him some respect. Reverence him. That's what the Bible teaches. And he doesn't give any loopholes. He doesn't give any wiggle room. Amen. So it covers all people, and I believe it covers all times. Old or New Testament. Now, I know some will argue, but times have changed. Times have changed. Society has evolved. Amen. They say we don't need these archaic ideas of marriage any longer. We're ready for some new things. And so they've tried new things. They've opened up now same-sex marriage. And that's not going to be the end of it. It's not going to be the end of it. And it's not been a beneficial thing either. Amen. Won't be a beneficial thing. But here's my point. Man didn't make the rules for marriage. Man didn't make the rules for the order of society. God made the rules. And if you'll look them over real good, there's not an expiration date on the rules of God's Word. There's not an expiration date. Times may change, but God's not changing. The truth doesn't change. Amen. Amen. And so I know they say, well, but times changed and we don't have to live that way. And you can choose not to, by the way. And you'll suffer for it. You'll suffer, and your home will suffer, and your children will suffer, and your community will suffer, and your church will suffer, and your nation will suffer, and you'll give an account for it one day. Or you can obey God and be blessed and be under God's blessings. Amen. And so I just say it again, this is God's standard, and His standards does not change. Amen. The wife may be, the world may say this, she's, quote, just the sweetest thing. And he may be, quote, just the meanest thing. But she still owes him respect, according to this King James Bible. She still owes him reverence, according to the King James Bible. She has the duty, because he said, let every one of you, in particular. Right. Now he said, husbands, your job, every one of you in particular, love your wife, even as himself. Wife, your job, in particular, is to reverence your husband. That's the text verse that we're looking at. Amen. So, she is to look up to him in reverence. That's what that word reverence means, by the way, is looking up to. Now, if she will place herself under his authority, when you're under, you can look up easier. Amen. When you're under, you can look up easier. Amen. You heard the story, a fellow said him and his wife got in a fight, got in a knockdown, drag out fight. But he said, before it was over, I had her down on her knees begging me. She said, would you please come out from under that bed and I'm going to wring your neck. Amen. Made me think about under. It's easier to look up when you're under. Amen. But here's the thing. It's not that the woman is lesser than the man. It's just that her position is under. Listen, I'm the pastor here. But that don't make me better than anybody in this building. Amen. It's just the order of authority, the way God made it. Right. Amen. That's the way God made it. And there'll be a day when I won't be the pastor. Amen. And when that day comes, then it'll be my responsibility to look up and be under the authority of somebody else. Amen. That's just how it works. And you say, but preacher, it just don't seem fair that the wife needs to be under. That's the way God made it. We're to show respect to men's office. We ought to respect police officers. Say amen right there. We ought to respect them. We ought to respect judges. Not that they make ever ruling right. They don't get it all right. But we're to respect the rule of law. Amen. We ought to respect military men. We ought to. Amen. They risk a lot. They sacrifice a lot. And their office, their position. Amen. I really believe you ought to respect your boss. You ought to. I believe you ought to respect our president. People in authority, you ought to respect them. Amen. Amen. Well, if that's true, and that's a man, men ought to respect them, but so should women. And God said, here's the order of the home, not just the order of the court, not just the order of society, this order of the home, the man is to be the one that's showing love to his wife. She's to be the one in submission that she is showing reverence to him. Somebody said it this way. This an old Puritan said it this way. He said, it is not fitting to put the rib above the head. He went on to say, it is not fitting even to put the rib on the same level as the head. But the rib, in its rightful place, will be below the head. That's the way God made the body. Amen. Now, could the little finger complain that it's not a thumb? Could the nose complain that it's not an ear? Paul talked about those body parts complaining. But amen. But God placed the rib where He wanted it and the head where He wanted it, and He had a reason for that. Amen. And so if we'll just submit to God, again, it's not a difference in value. It is a difference in position. Amen. I don't want my ribs broken any more than I want my nose broken. Amen. Both of them are painful. Amen. All right, let me talk tonight about the dimensions of a godly wife's reverence. I started to say godly husband back on that. But the dimensions of a godly wife's reverence. You remember when I preached on the men, the dimension of the man's reverence? I said we live in a 3D world. But the men's love for their wife, I gave you four dimensions. Well, with the women, I'm going to be merciful and give you three dimensions. We're living in a 3D world. And so I'm going to give you three dimensions of a godly wife's reverence. Let me say this before I give you those three. That this relationship of the wife to the husband is peculiar. It's different than any other relation. Wives ought to reverence and respect their mother and their father. Right? They ought to respect their mother and their father. But there's a different respect shown to their husband. Amen. If they are employed, they ought to show respect to their employer. But there is a different respect that they show to their husband. There's a different reverence that they show to their husband. A greater, more, a deeper, that's a good way to say it, a deeper respect for her husband. Amen. Three things that I'll say about the dimensions. Number one, she esteems him highly. She esteems him highly. Or we say she highly esteems him. Turn with me to the book of Esther, chapter number 1. Esther, chapter number 1. Right after the book of Nehemiah. Esther, chapter number 1. I think I touched on this in dealing with the men. I said that even lost men recognize the submission of the wife. And this is here in Esther. These are lost men making a decree. Esther chapter 1, verse number 20. When the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, look at this phrase, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. He said, all wives are to give their husbands honor, both great and small. Some men are more talented than other men, but even the man with the least talents, his wife ought to respect him. Amen. Show him honor, show him reverence. Amen. And surely the man with the most talents then, his wife ought to show. So he said, whether great or small, all wives, underline that, all wives ought to show honor to their husband. We'd say reverence or respect to their husband. So I say this, ladies, you ought to think about your husband. And when you think about your husband, Brother Hall preached through the Song of Solomon, when the bride thought about her groom, she thought about his excellence. She thought about his excellence. Amen. She didn't think about all of his bad qualities. She didn't think about his feet stinking. She thought about how muscular he was. Amen. She thought about how robust he was, how leaping like a hart over the mountains that he was. And she bragged about all those physical characteristics. And by the way, you ought to look at your husband and all men are not made the same, I recognize that. But yet you ought to look at him and find some things that you can esteem and think on those things. Things that you can esteem him for and show respect for. Can I say this? If he is a good provider, you ought to thank God for him. There's a lot of women in our world today married to bums. They won't even carry a sign that says we'll work for food. Amen. Let alone work for food. They wouldn't do it. Amen. Amen. Maybe your husband's not outstanding in every area. He's probably not. Most men are not outstanding in every area. I don't ask him if he is. He'll tell you he is. But maybe he's not outstanding in every area. But remember this. He's made in the image of God. That's how God made him. That's what he said. He made Adam in the image of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I was reading verses 8 and 9 a minute ago. You don't have to turn. I'll turn back there and read it to you. But he says in verse number 7, right before that, I should have read it while I was there. But let me get back there. He uses a phrase about the man. 1 Corinthians 11:7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head for as much, look at this, as he is the image and glory of God. Amen. He is the image and the glory of God. If you can honor your Lord, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, you ought to honor your husband. You ought to think about those. You ought to be thankful, amen, for your husband. If you do have an honorable husband, you have a treasure that many others do not possess. Amen. You ought to think about it. You ought to build respect, build esteem for your husband on those things. She esteems him highly. Remember how he was when you chose him for your husband. Amen. Most of us can remember back to when we was in courting days. And we remember when he said, whether or not it's down on one knee and on them big fancy restaurants like the ones with the arches. And he's down on his knees and he's saying, will you marry me? You remember how your heart went pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter? Amen. You ought to go back in your mind to that and let your heart go pitter-patter again. Amen. For that same husband that God blessed you with. Amen. Can I tell you, you ought to know him better now. You ought to love him more now than you ever did. Just like he should you. Amen. Amen. I could go on and on and on about that. But think about it and continue in that. I could show you all kinds. You remember in the Bible, Michael had disrespect towards David? Remember that? Michael's not a man, by the way. Michael was the daughter of Saul, King Saul. And Saul gave Michael to David because he knew she'd trip him up. That's what he was trying for. He's trying to mess David up. So he gave him his daughter. And David came back and David was dancing before the Lord. David was rejoicing before the Lord. And Michael got upset about that. She didn't think he looked too much like a king. It wasn't that she didn't think God was worthy of respect, but she thought David was disrespecting her by showing so much respect for God. You'd be surprised. Women that want their husband saved, but they don't want him too saved. They want him in church, but they don't want him sold out to the house of God. Amen. And go on. But 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16. The Bible says, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And I underline this phrase, and she despised him in her heart. The man she was supposed to honor, she despised him. The man she was supposed to respect, she despised him. What was the judgment upon her? By the way, this wasn't David's judgment. It's God's judgment. 2 Samuel 6:23, the Bible says, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children until the day of her death. God shut up her womb. God did. Because she disrespected her husband. Now you say, why did God send such a severe judgment upon her? Because she dishonored her husband. She didn't honor him like she should have. She broke that duty that she is supposed to do towards her husband. Amen. I'll say this. You want your neighbors to respect you. You want your children to respect you. More than likely, they'll grow to respect you as they see how you respect your husband. Amen. Amen. Well, the dimensions of her love. Number one, she esteems him highly. Number two, she loves him deeply. Amen. She loves him deeply. Reverence and respect are a product of love. Amen. It's a product of love. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible's telling the older women teaching the young women that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Amen. We're living in a day when young ladies need to be taught to love their husband and love their children. Amen. Some of them love their job more than they love their husband. Amen. Some of them love shopping more than they love their husband. Some of them in our society love being able to paint up and primp and show off in the world more than they love their husband. Some of them love animals more than they love their husband. It's true. They have love for a lot of things more than they love, and they need to be taught it. So he said, you older women ought to teach the younger women, amen, to love their husband. And there's some godly women, Paul or Peter talked about it, that the holy women of old, how they reverence, and he gives an illustration of Sarah. Sarah's a great illustration. Amen. She's a great illustration of a woman reverencing her husband. Amen. She called him Lord. I'm not saying you have to go around calling your husband Lord. I've heard women say, several years ago I made that comment, and this one woman said, well, if my husband was more like Abraham, I might call him Lord. And I thought his response could be, yeah, and if he was more like Sarah, amen, maybe he might treat you more like Abraham treated Sarah. I don't know. I don't know the case of that. But I know this, Sarah respected Abraham. When Abraham said, we're going to leave Ur of the Chaldees and we're going to go serve God. Listen, I'm sure, and this is not a slam, it's just, I'm sure Sarah had a lot of questions that Abraham didn't have answers for. Abraham, you're drawing all the money out of the bank and we're going off to a far country. Where are we going? Well, I don't know. God's going to show us. How's it going to be when we get there? I don't know. We're going to see when we get there. Well, Abraham, what are you looking for? I'm looking for a city not made by man. I'm looking for a city made by the hand of God. I'm sure she had more questions than he had answers. But you know what she did? She followed him. Amen. Not only Sarah, let me get it. Rebecca. Rebecca left her home with Laban.
Right.
Everything she was comfortable with, everything she knew, to go with a man she had never seen. Amen.
Right.
Why? Because her love for him, her devotion to him. Amen. She didn't know, but she was committed. Wilt thou have this man? Will you go with this man? She said, I'll go. And she did go. And she stayed faithful to Isaac.
Right.
Amen. Sarah did it. Rebecca did it. Rachel did it. Rachel and Leah left their father's house. Laban again. That same house, because Laban was Rebecca's brother. Laban was Rachel's daddy. She had to turn her back on her family. Go off with Jacob back to Canaan land. Amen. And she followed him. Amen. Those women of old followed their husbands. Their love for their husband was so strong that they would gladly follow him to great distance. That's right there in the Bible. One of the vows in our common marriage ceremony says something like this. Almost all of them say, forsaking all others, keeping thyself to thee only, so long as ye both shall live. By the way, the men make that vow and the women make that vow.
Right.
And that forsaking all others does not just mean forsaking all women of the or members of the opposite sex. It does mean that he's forsaking them. It does mean that he's not going to have any other women on the side. Amen. And it does mean that she's not going to have any other men on the side, but it don't just mean that. It even means forsaking family and friends And whatever, I'm forsaking it all. I'm going to follow you to the ends of the earth. That's what it means. Amen. So long as you both shall live. I believe that vow is talking about affection and intimacy, but not just that. I believe it's talking about promoting your spouse to the highest position possible, second only to God. Amen. I'm not saying that wives ought to make their husband their God. Amen. And the Bible doesn't say it that way. He says she's to obey him, she's to submit herself unto him as unto the Lord. Amen. As is fitting in the Lord, is how Colossians chapter 3 talks about. As is fitting in the Lord. Not that she's to do wrong. No, I'm not teaching that. I know some do. Amen. I remember a book that was real popular some years ago, and it's got some good things in it. A book by Elizabeth Rice Hanford that says, "Me, obey him." And one of the things that she said that her dad, John R. Rice, taught, that the woman is even to sin if her husband tells her to. And he uses the illustration that Abraham told Sarah to lie, and she did. But that didn't make Sarah's lie right. It's still a lie. Now, she got in trouble, and Abraham got in trouble for it. Amen. They both got in trouble for it. I'm not saying that she's to do wrong if he tells her to. She's not to do wrong. She does have a higher authority than the husband, that is the Lord. Amen. But there's not a higher earthly authority. Amen. That is right. Not a higher earthly authority. She's to answer to him above all others. Amen and amen. Well, can I say this area is very needful that she be devoted to her husband in this manner. Devoted to him. You see, many of the marriage breakdowns today is because there's no devotion between the husband and wife. She goes on her way, he goes on his. How's that supposed to work? It's not going to work. How can two walk together except to be agreed? Amen. They got to agree together. They got to be devoted together. And so there's a breakdown in many homes today, I believe, because the breakdown of the devotion of the wife to the husband. Amen. Many wives today are instructed to place other men in authority and in regard above their husband. That's not instructed from the Bible. The Bible says she's to obey her own husband. Amen. Amen. Some women respect their boss more than they do their husband. They respect their teachers more than they do the husband. They respect their fathers more than they do their husband. That's not correct. It's not biblical. It is damaging to the marriage, and it is unscriptural. Amen. Can I say one more thing? I'm almost get off of this. We'll breathe. Listen to me, especially those of you with little children. Listen up. Even the children should not come between you and your husband. There'll come a day, the children will be gone. But if you're blessed of God, he won't be. Amen. There'll come a day when the children will be grown and gone, but your love for each other and your respect for each other ought to grow stronger and stronger, and your marriage bond then being stronger and stronger. You're to remain together until death. Amen. I say it this way, the wives reverence her husband, or her love to her husband must go deeper than any other affection. Amen. Amen. There may come a time when he is sick and weak, and you've got to be his nurse, and you be there in his times of sickness. Be there for him. Amen. Be there for him. You ought to love him. I talked about him being willing to take a bullet for you, and he had ought to be. He ought to be. But you at the same time ought to be willing to sacrifice all your pleasure, all your dreams. You ought to be willing to sacrifice, if must be, even your life. That you can see him helped and his needs met. Amen. Forsaking all others. Stay with him. Amen. Here's my last one. She respects him, or she esteems him highly. She loves him deeply. Number three. She seeks to please him diligently. She diligently seeks to please him. The word reverence here in Ephesians 5:33 That word reverence is literally the word fear. If you look it up in Strong's Concordance, the word reverence comes from the word fear. Peter said that he talked about that unbelieving husband. He can be won by the wife. He said when he sees her chaste, here's his phrase, her chaste conversation coupled with fear. It's the same word, reverence. Chaste conversation means that pure life that she's living. When that husband sees how pure her life is, and when that husband sees how diligently she seeks to please him, then that even a lost man will break down over something like that. Amen. It'll break down his rebellion and break down his stubbornness. Amen. Amen. Now this fear is not like the fear a slave would have for a master. But it is a sincere desire to please the husband. A refusal to offend him. Amen. Most wives do this. My wife does this. I'm guessing most wives do this. When my wife finds out how I like a particular dish fixed, for example, she fixes it like I like it. You know why? Because she wants me to be pleased. Amen. She wants me to be pleased. She wants me to be able to say, boy, that is a good meal. Amen. She wants me to gain weight. No, I'm kidding. Amen. But she wants me to be pleased. And so she does those things to try to please me. That's the way a wife ought to do. Amen. A wife ought to be natural that she says, for example, how will this make every other man think it looks on me? No. How does this look to you? Amen. Amen. How do you, here's when I may get us in trouble. How do you want me to wear my hair? How do you want? And I know what most of them are going to say, however you want it, dear. Amen. But her job is to please him. And that ought to be her goal. And she ought to seek to please him diligently. That's how he's talking about here in Ephesians 5:33 and in 1 Peter 3:2 as well. Amen. And so one woman said it this way. She said, I will do my utmost to please him, though I do not fear his hand. I do fear his frown. And I would rather displease the whole world than displease my husband. Amen. She's saying, I'd rather make the whole world mad than to make him mad. Amen. And I'll say those are noble sentiments. Amen. I'm almost done. I'm saying we ought to seek to conduct our life this way. Ladies ought to seek to please their husband. They ought to seek to respect their husband. They ought to seek to love their husband in a way that is honorable before God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the Bible says that if you love Jesus like you ought to, it's going to be reflected in your love for your husband. That tells me then if you don't love your husband like you ought to, it is not a reflection, it is a proof. It is a byproduct of the fact that the love for the Lord's not like that it ought to be. Amen. Amen. And it'll help your home and it'll make your marriage more positive things. Amen. Remember, your first priority is Jesus Christ. Your relationship with God, number one. Your relationship to your husband, number two. It's more important than your relationship with your parents, more important than your relationship with your job, more important than your relationship with the world. Amen. Your relationship with Christ first, your relationship to your husband secondly. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This has been a little longer than normal. I'm laying the foundation. Lord willing, next week we'll come back, maybe, and look at the next point. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, dear God, for a godly wife. I thank you for my wife. I thank you, dear God, for the wives that are here in the church. Lord, help us to strive to be the best we can be for the glory of God. Not that we can be a Pharisee, nor that we can look down our nose at somebody else, but Lord, that we can bring glory to our God, that we can please our heavenly bridegroom, that we can live in the blessings of God because we've done our best to obey the Word of God. Lord, help us in these areas, and You get the glory. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing a verse of song. If the Lord spoke to you, you need to come and pray. I want to give you opportunity to do so. Maybe you need to pray for yourself, or maybe you need to pray for somebody else. But if the Lord spoke to you and you need to come pray, I want to give you that opportunity.